16 Comics Wire podcast. I am your host, Brian Vert 16, and with me I have the creator of Comical Foods.
Hi everyone. This is Christian Ochoa. I'm the founder of Comical Foods and co-creator to our first book, Journey to the Top of the Food Pyramid, Book 1. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, it's my pleasure, man. I mean, your comic looks really awesome. I mean, it's a really unique perspective, or it's a unique story, to say the least. I mean, when I read the preview, I was like, man, I was completely blown away. And to use as simple as a food pyramid, you know, like, I was like, okay, this might be something educational, but then it's almost like it's also adventurous, too.
Yeah. No, thank you so much. It was fun working with the whole team on this project, and we learned a lot, and we're excited to keep working on it. It's almost done. So
yeah, and actually, speaking of the whole team, I saw that you have quite the ensemble, and I know Tobin Rasikut personally. I have him many times on my show before. Really nice. Cool cat, along with his wife.
Yes, I love Tobin. I've been working with him recently. We've been live streaming a little bit on Twitch. And I got to throw up some of our YouTube videos that I still got to edit. But yeah, I love working with Tobin.
Yeah, just a cool, smart dude, funny dude, you know. Mm-hmm. His wife's funny too.
Yeah, I love her. Yeah.
Yeah. And let's see, you also have quite a roster. You have Angelina Roman. And when I read her stuff, I was like, shoot. I mean, I might look at some of her stuff too. I mean, writing Miserably Altered, Cry Me a Blood Tear.
Yep.
Those are like some... I was like, wow, I want to start reading those. And then you also have, who else? Curtis Clow.
Yep.
Yeah, and you have quite the ensemble, Raphael Sam and Michael Aramando.
Yep, and Sarah Gavagon.
Quite an ensemble, dude.
Thanks. Yeah, no, it was when we first started the project, I think we were only three people. It was just me, Angelina, and Curtis. And as we kept working on the project, I kept adding more people to the team. We focused on concept art first. And then once we finished that, I started looking at the comic book art team. And that's why we have a lot of people on the team. But with the help of them all, I think we're creating something really unique and special.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is like, you know, this is a pretty unique story. And speaking of the story, can you tell me more about A Journey to the Food Pyramid?
Yeah, so it's a fantasy adventure story about two siblings, older sister and her little brother, who get trapped into this food coma world. And it's full of, you know, these sugar fairies, food animals, and they're trying to find a way out. And it focuses on the relationship of, you know, the older sister as she has to take care of her little brother as they work their way up the pyramid. And yeah, it's that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I read the preview, and I just, you know, when I read the part where they said that it was going to be some kind of like, it's kind of, if you know, it's like one of, I read the part in the Kickstarter where if you like Studio Ghibli, you'll definitely love the story, or if you Spirited Away.
Yes, I'm actually a big fan.
Yeah, I never seen the movie before too until recently this year, actually.
Yeah,
and it was freaking unique.
It was beautiful. Yes, I love that movie.
And it's so funny because I was talking to my sister one time, I think a day or two ago, like about how I felt like our society is kind of like, it kind of reminds me of Spirited Away in a sense, where we're just like in this, you know, unique world, and you know, we're away from our everyday reality, and we find that we're just like in a whole different, odd but yet familiar universe. And like, it's how people, like, with, especially with consumption too, I feel.
Yes.
Like, it kind of reminded me of a part where, remember the part where her parents, spoiler alert for those who haven't seen it though, but there's this part where the main character's parents turn into pigs when they're eating all this food. And that's what it kind of reminds me of, like consumption of like, just like, not just like, you know, materialism though, but like consumption of like, you know, the negative news and all that. And like, this how it changes people, you know. That's what it kind of reminded me of, and I was just like, wow, dude.
Yeah, no, I love the topic. I think it was the subject of overconsumption.
Yeah,
that's definitely a topic we're gonna hit as we continue the story. I think we're focusing mostly on the food part though, like, but I think I don't want to spoil too much, but definitely we're gonna be talking about environmental stuff because I like tying some of the topics that they find in the story back to the real world stuff. So
Oh
like,
yeah.
there's definitely going to be some environmental stuff going on in later issues, but yeah, very big on the symbolism of overconsumption and balance, the importance of, you know, eating healthy and what happens when we eat too much of certain food.
Yeah, I mean that's really awesome. I mean, like I totally agree with that. And so what was like, you know, speaking of the story, what was like the main inspiration behind, or one of the inspirations I should say, behind this graphic novel?
So it's a comic book, but I mean,
Comic
once it's a
book.
32-page comic books, but I mean, we would love to continue the series and hopefully, you know, put together a graphic novel. But for right now, it's a comic book, 32-page comic book. But the main inspiration, I think, wow, there was a lot. But definitely, like I said, Spirited Away. I think the biggest one was when I started working on this project. I was coming up with different ideas for the setting. In the very beginning, I was just trying to figure out a setting that was small, because I was coming off a bigger project this where I got stuck in world building too much. So I decided to hop to a new project, a smaller project, and I set parameters for myself. And I said I was going to work in a small setting, and it was going to be food related. So I was trying to come up with ideas, you know. And I'm an architectural drafter, so I was playing with shapes, and the pyramid popped into my head. And then the next thing I thought of was the food pyramid, and I started like designing levels and like sections, and then from then on, the setting became the main thing that propelled the story, propelled the idea of the characters. It became the main thing I used to help us come up with the rest of the story. But yeah, that's how the idea came up, like just playing with shapes in the beginning of the setting. So I started with setting for this project, and then Curtis helped out a lot with the outline. Me and him worked together through video meetings, so we have like almost like a writer's room, and we just spit ideas back and forth of how we would write the story for how the kids would go up this pyramid. And it's funny that you said graphic novel, because in the very beginning, we intended it to be a graphic novel, but because of budget, you know, I don't have,
Right.
you know, I'm a publishing company, but like the budget's coming from me. I'm funding the project. I didn't have the budget to pay the artist to do a complete graphic novel, so I had to size that down. I had to change the format from a graphic novel to comic book issue. So, but it's funny because we were trying to do a graphic novel in the beginning. We had the outline for the graphic novel, and then once I, you know, did a little bit more research, looked at the budget again, and I was like, yeah, we can't do this. I can't fund this in the time period that I want it to be published. So we had to scale it back down a little bit. But yeah.
I mean that's really cool. I mean the fact that you use like your design background to influence the story and then playing with shapes, it's almost like playing with your toys and the old toy box and all
Yes.
that.
Yes.
And using something again as simple as a food pyramid, I think that's really unique, again.
Thank you.
And when I initially read the story, especially the first part where they're all eating cake, I mean it also reminded me of, in addition to Spirited Away, it also reminded me of the nursery rhyme, or the not the nursery rhyme, but the story, the fairy tale story of Hansel and Gretel.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's what I kind of got out of it. And also there was Hansel and Gretel, and there was also we mentioned Spirited Away, and let's see, because I was taking some notes as I was like reading along it. I mean, I just like to do that.
Yeah.
And one of the things I also noticed, if I can find it here. Yeah, so it was like Hansel and Gretel, and let's see. Yeah, this Hansel and Gretel, maybe a little Jack and Jill, you know.
Oh, I remember now. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. That was an
Oh, Cloudy with a Chance of
inspiration.
Meatballs.
That was an inspiration to when I was coming up with ideas. And Alice in Wonderland. That was another one I was thinking of.
Another one I was gonna mention too was just that it also kind of reminded me of the cartoon Chowder.
Oh, I don't think I've saw that one. No.
Yeah, it was like on Cartoon Network, and it's about like this kid who's like a cat bear bunny hybrid, I think. And he just loves food, and he always gets into stuff, and
Got it. No, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that one. I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah.
I gotta check
And
it out.
yeah, absolutely. And you know the characters of basil and anise, that are named after herbs, kind of like how chowder's named after like a chunky soup.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's what I kind of got of it. And can you tell me more about basil and anise?
Yeah, so anise is the, I guess, the older sister. She's a picky, they're both spoiled. She's a picky eater, but being the older sister, she has to be responsible for her little brother. And I took inspiration from my own life. I'm the older brother of three, so I grew up with my two little brothers, and there are always these struggles of being the oldest and providing being a good example to them and helping them out. And you always had your struggles, your fights, and I wanted to tell like a sibling story. And Anise was the, I think, is the one of the main characters in the story. She's the older sister, and she has to take care of her little brother. And her little brother Basil is annoying. As I remember my brother when he was little, he was really annoying. He always wanted to play. And you get to that age where you start, especially if you're like, depending on how many years apart you are. I'm 5 years older than my little brother, and I remember when I was growing up, I was really close with him. We always played together. And it came to a point where I think it was around like junior, like middle grade or something, where I started hanging out with my friends more, and he wanted to hang out with us. He just wasn't at that age where he could hang out with us no more. And that's when it was like arguments started happening,
Oh yeah.
and then I wanted to touch up on that type of stuff, on that type of story. So Basil is the little brother, the little sibling who's always getting into trouble, and then you're gonna see the conflicts come up as they go up the pyramid, when they start meeting new characters and everything.
That's really awesome. And like, you know how you use your experience too, like being the oldest and all that as an influence.
Yeah, especially as a new writer, because I am a new writer. I don't have much of a writing background. I dived into comics when I'm 30 right now, so
Oh,
I was working on
wow.
this for like 2 years. So when I was 28, but I haven't written anything creatively since like high school. So I knew when I went into this project, I wanted to team up with someone who had a little bit more experience with me. So that's why I co-wrote it with Curtis, because he was dealing with some high concept fantasy stories, and I love high concept stuff. So I teamed up with Curtis. He helped out a lot on the writing side.
Awesome. I mean, yeah. And can you tell me more about like the process behind the writing and all that? Like, 'cause like I know with Tobin, he has like a really meticulous like process, and I was just like, wow, that's and we talked a whole lot about writing conventions 'cause I'm a writer too myself.
Yeah.
And it's just he went over so much. If you listen to like one of our podcasts I had with him, we did like his very first one, and he would just go into detail. I'm like, that isn't like he's like a creative writing professor.
Oh yeah. Tobin, yeah, he knows how to teach.
Oh yeah,
Like, he was
absolutely.
teaching me how to do lettering, and I was just like learning on the spot. Oh man, it's as a writer. Okay, so I'm gonna try to remember, because like I did a lot of stuff as a new writer. I think the biggest thing I did was outlines for me. I focused on the outlines, log lines. But for me, the outlines were mainly like, one sentence type of outlines, where you write a sentence for a scene. Sometimes I write a sentence for a page, and I would just do that and rewrite a lot. Like, I would rewrite like all these outlines all the time. And then I think once I got to like a stage where I felt it was like, it was a good outline, I would work together with Curtis, because I was writing outlines before Curtis got involved in the project. So I had like the basic outline kind of figured out, and that was my process: just writing outlines, rewriting them, starting from the end, from the middle. Because in the beginning, I was trying to do begin chronologically, write chronologically from beginning, middle, and end,
Yeah.
and it wasn't working out for me. I had hard trouble with that. So then I just started writing. And not in order. I'll just write like several scenes that I thought were cool. Sometimes I'll write from the ending and I'll work my way backwards.
Some yeah, that's how I do it. Like I just write the
Yeah.
ending and like,
Yeah. And I just kept doing different versions of outlines. So and that's what I spent a lot of time on. I have a lot of drafts of outlines, and some of those outlines would take me like a minute, 2 minutes, depending like what type of outline there are. Like, you can have like a sentence outline, and you can have like paragraph outline. So I'm a big fan of the one sentence outlines where, one sentence per scene or one sentence per page or one sentence per spread. I write those types of outlines. And then once we got a good outline, that's when I contacted Curtis and then I showed him the outline and we got together on Skype and we started talking and going over the whole outline. And then we would read it back and forth, and that's when we start inserting new ideas. And he'll insert the idea. He'll tell me some idea, and I'll just write it down, and then I'll rewrite the outline, and then we'll go over it again next week. And yeah, that was the outline phase. And then script. I hate writing scripts. I tried writing scripts. I did not like the format, so I told Curtis if he can tackle the script. And then I would edit it after he finished. So he would finish the script, he'd send it to me, and then we'll get another call, video meeting, and we'll go over the script, over like points that I thought we could improve on. And then I'll just edit it a little bit and then send it back to him. And it was just back and forth process. And that's how we tackle the writing for Journey to the Top of the Food Pyramid.
I mean, especially with the meetings and all that, that's quite the process, and it's almost like a writer's workshop too.
Yeah, it was nice to be able to like share ideas
And to get ideas to
somewhere.
bounce off of
Yes,
too.
exactly. Because sometimes I'd be stuck in like one thing, and Curtis would just be like, "Oh yeah, you can do this or you can do that," and sometimes he'll be stuck in something, and I'll come up with a different idea off his other idea that he came up with. So it was nice to the feedback you'll get from a video meeting.
Yeah, totally. And let's see here. So, who would you say is your favorite character in the comic?
Oh man, that's hard. I think design-wise, I would say the Sugar Fairy, just because we spent so much time designing it. I'm big into concept art, and for some
I
reason,
like concept art.
I love concept art. But I can get too deep into it. And the Sugar Fairy, we spent a lot of time designing it. We were trying to design a creature that was very unique, and I think we hit the unique thing, but it was just it took us a while to get there. The characters were easier to design, but yeah, the Sugar Fairy is my favorite character just because of the design. Story-wise, it's probably going to be Basil, but overall,
Basil.
I think the Sugar Fairy is my favorite creature.
Yeah, Sugar Fairy. I think I did see the Sugar Fairy too. He like gave Basil apparently like not spoiler alert though, but he gave Basil like a piece of sugar and he took it and the sister was kind of like, "No, don't
Yeah.
do it." Which to me is kind of ironic because like I was like, "Girl, wouldn't you like eating like cake a little earlier and then now you're refusing sugar?" Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think I wanted to show that she's because the cake is coming from her mom. So, when it comes from like a stranger, her being a little bit older, she's a little bit more wary of that.
Yeah. And like yeah, and you can definitely see like the sibling, kind of sibling rivalry going on and all that. It was like when mom's not around, that's when she acts the oldest and all that.
Yes.
So let's see here. I was gonna now we were talking about the whole concept and everything like that. I was going to ask to like well, actually, one of the things I do like about the comic is just that how half of the story is the comic book and then the other half is like shows like all the concept art and the process behind creating the comic,
Oh yeah.
like the recipe, I think it's called.
Yes, we're calling it the recipe, so the comic book recipe. Where that so the intention behind that was that for Comical Foods, the publishing company, we want to put out books that have the story, comic book story, and then alongside that story, we're going to have the entire process from and we're going to break it down to a recipe format. So for each part of the process, we're going to have like certain steps, the way we did it, and we're also gonna include like our mistakes, because I think when other publishers put out books, they put some back matter in there, but I always love it when books have a little that extra stuff, and I just love looking at concept art or like how the creators wrote their outlines or how they scripted something, because I get to learn from that. And then as a younger reader, you can kind of like start learning from the back matter of that book if you're interested in that type of stuff. So I decided to, you know, being the founder of Comic Clues, I decided to, you know, show the whole thing, how it was created from step one all the way to the final step, which is, for us, we're just making it the design of the actual PDF, like how we designed it in InDesign. But you know, step one is how to come up with the idea, and then you go through concept art, outlining, a script phase, layouts, thumbnails, all that. And we there's a lot of focus on concept art, because personally I just love concept art, and we had a lot of the team work on it in the early beginning of the project. So you're gonna see a lot of concept art in the book.
I really like that approach too, like with Comical Foods. I think I know why you call it Comical Foods, because you show the recipe of like how a comic was made. So it's almost like, in a sense, the comic is the food, but it's like, yes, food for the soul, or food for, like, you know, yeah, like soul food. Not skinning.
Yeah, no, it was hard coming up with the idea in the beginning. Comical Foods was initially a food blog. I was trying to write a food blog because I love food.
Oh god, yes, I love food.
It just wasn't working for me, the food blog. And then I tried doing illustration. I was a mechanic about it. And then comics somehow, I forgot how it came to me, but like I started working on a comic, and then just things started to roll from there. Now it's a comic book publisher. But it first started out as a food blog.
Man, food, I mean, let me tell you, nothing, you know, there's nothing on this planet that brings people together more than food.
Yeah, I know. I love food. I love cooking and I love eating.
And comics, of course. I mean,
yes,
especially after watching the Avengers, like, dude, like, I, you know, saw the shawarma scene and I was like, yep, I'm gonna go get a shawarma. And I started eating those like almost every week.
Yes. Oh, shawarmas are delicious.
They are. I mean, you can, you know, best street food ever. You know, you can have shredded beef, you can have chicken. I mean, hell, you can probably have a vegan shawarma, you know, for all you vegans out there.
Yeah.
And I actually read that too. You did mention on your bio that you do love food, and also, and let's see, like, you love food, and you also mentioned world building, and you love NYC food. Now, I've never been to New York City.
Oh, I grew up in New York City.
It's on Brooklyn, Maine. The list, though, man.
I grew up in Brooklyn, around Shisha Bay. And it was a lot of Russian and Turkish restaurants. And I used to visit this Turkish restaurant all the time. They had this really amazing chicken kebab sandwich.
Oh, damn.
It was really good. It was just chicken kebab with like lettuce and tomato. But the chicken kebab was like seasoned, so it was delicious. And I used to get that all the time. And, you know, we had Avenue U, which was full of like different types of Asian restaurants. I would go hang out there with my friends. So I lived in a neighborhood with like different types of cuisines, different types of foods, and it was awesome to be able to like eat, you know, different types of food. Yeah. And then I grew up, my family is Ecuadorian, so my mom would always cook Ecuadorian food. And I grew up with that type of food, and I love it. I think my favorite type of cuisine is probably Colombian food and Korean food.
Oh, Korean's the best.
Yes, Korean barbecue. Oh, it's amazing.
And funny enough, like, you know, even though I grew up in California, I spent times between LA and San Diego and Riverside. Like, I never really had, like, you know, totally ethnic food until I went to college. Like, that's when I was introduced to curry. I was introduced to pho, right. Korean barbecue, like you mentioned. What else did I have? I had ceviche, which I think is like...
I love ceviche.
Yeah, ceviche is like... Ceviche is bomb. And I also had like... I don't know. Like,
What type of ceviche did you have?
I'm not really sure what type of ceviche it was, though, but...
Was it shrimp or fish?
Actually, I think it was probably fish.
It was probably fish. Oh, okay. I love the shrimp ceviche. My mom makes a really amazing shrimp ceviche.
And I was introduced to that by my Latino buddies and like my Christian club, Lafay, in varsity. And I was just like, wow. And there was a time where I went to this Indian restaurant and I was with my buddy, right? And he was like this black dude. You know, I'm part black too, though. But then when I went up to the counter, it was, I kind of find this a little funny, you know. I went up to the counter and I was just like, you know, I was like, can I have some of that sweet stuff right there? And like, my buddy just looks at me and he's just like, dude, you are so white. And I'm like, because, you know, it's just like, not to be like, obviously, you know, but the thing was, is like, that's how, like, out of touch I was with food, you know, because like, I never really tried ethnic food until I went to college. And
Yes, sir.
that's when I was actually introduced to it. I'm like, oh, there's actually this stuff. I mean, I've had like other food, like I've had a little bit of Nigerian because I'm part Nigerian. I had Filipino. I've had, I, you know, I've had like corned beef, which is an Irish dish because I'm part Irish on my mom's side. My dad's
Yeah.
Nigerian. But that's pretty much about it though. Like, other than that, like, I haven't had anything else. You know, but until I went to college, and I was just like, oh, this is actually pretty good. And I really love currying.
Oh, you love curry? I don't like curry that much.
Really?
It depends on what type of curry, but like most of the curries I don't like. I don't really like, I'm not into curry. I love more of the kebab types of meats, but curry, I don't know. The flavors are sometimes too strong for me. It depends though. It depends on the,
Probably the
obviously it
spice, yeah.
depends on the spice. I'm not really big into spicy foods, but yeah, curry was one thing I really didn't, I'm not a fan of. Depending on the type of curry though, there's like different types of curries out there, so some I like, some most of them I don't.
Yeah. And yeah, so I did also mention that, you know, I had Filipino food because, you know, I grew up in a also grew up in a Filipino neighborhood in San Diego. And like, my dad's wife is also, you know, she's part Filipino, and you know, so like, that's kind of like was my introduction to food until college. It was just like, you know, you know.
Do you cook your food? I mean, do you like to cook?
I like to cook though, but I'm not the best cook in the world. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I mean, I'm not the greatest cook. I mean, I try.
I see. No, I think I started cooking one day because I wanted to try different food than what my mom was making. She would always like make her food was good, but it was just I got tired of the being the same type of flavor over time. And I was like, I'm just gonna start making some different meals for myself. And I was really big into Food Network, so I would see them cooking, and I'm like, oh, I want to eat
Yeah.
that. And then I was like, I'll try to mimic it, but it always come out bad. But then once you start like getting the hang of like seasoning, like how much seasoning you put in the dish, or how you season the meats, it started tasting good. And I'm a big fan of lemon, so I put lemon on everything, like
Oh,
before
lemon's
you.
good. I
Yeah,
love
before you season
citrus.
it. Yes, I love citrus too.
And actually, you kind of remind me of a time I spent at the hospital. I had like a surgery for like my pancreas, you
Oh
know.
no.
Yeah, I know. And thankfully it was benign though. But then what happened was just that, this was years ago, and what
Yeah.
happened was just that my older sister brought along some hot cakes for me, like these cupcakes, and it was like from a place called Hot Cakes in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And they were so good though, but you know, the nurse told me I couldn't have them because I was still recovering from the surgery. I was like, oh shoot, you know. So I tried, you know, I was looking at them and I wanted to eat them until I was allowed to eat. And then finally, when I was allowed to eat, I was just like eating them by like, you know, like I was really wolfing them down. Even though they were stale, I didn't care. I was like, these are good, you know.
No, when you're hungry, you're gonna eat as much as you can.
Yeah, and like I was even watching the Food Network, and I was also watching The Chew, which was a show that would go on ABC until I think it was canceled because that one guy did something kind of, you know, odd.
Yeah.
But you know, they were talking about like, I forgot what they were just showing how they were cooking the food. And I was like, oh, and I was in the hospital. Meanwhile, I was hungry, and I couldn't eat. I wasn't allowed to eat, and I was just like, oh no, you
Yeah.
know.
No, that's how I felt when they took my wisdom teeth out. I was starving. They took that wisdom tooth out. I couldn't eat for a while because of the
Oh man, that
pain.
is the worst.
Yep. I had an impacted wisdom tooth. I couldn't eat for like a week. I was drinking soup for like a full week.
Hey, at
Just
least you had
soup.
soup.
I know. I got tired of it though. I was eating soup. I think chicken soup. I was just like, I need some more
Like
solid food.
sustenance, like solid,
Yeah.
yeah. Because, like, for me, it was like I couldn't eat for, like, you know, especially during that stay at the hospital, I couldn't eat for like almost a week. And, like, I had I was surviving on ice chips and water.
Damn.
And, like, actually this year I was even at the hospital too for like a bowel obstruction. Like, it was hurting so bad. And I couldn't eat for like 2 days, which was better than, you know, my previous, you know, go. But still, I was going nuts. And like, there was a time where the doctor kind of forgot to like tell the nurse how I was allowed to eat. And I was just like, I just had the surgery and like, I'm okay now. So, where's my food, you know? And the nurse can tell I was kind of getting a little, you know, agitated, and she's like, okay, I'll have to reach out. And sure enough, thanks to that nurse, she was such an angel, she was able to get me my food.
There's all the stories that when food comes up, we remember all these stories that happened to us. I have a bunch of stories around food.
I mean, food is a pretty good storyteller.
I mean, back in the day, we used to eat around the fire, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, when we were cavemen and like, you know, all that. Yeah, how else are we going to survive? I mean, we kill a beast, we send it home and cook it.
Yeah.
And they told stories around the fire.
Yes.
Yeah. So, let me see. So you mentioned being a fan of Spirited Away. Have you watched any other Ghibli films or anything like that?
There was one. I forgot the name. It was the one about, what was that? Poisonous bugs or machines. That's the only one I saw. I only saw two of them. I saw Spirit. Oh, no. Howl's Castle.
Howl's Castle.
That's one. And there was another one. Something about poison bugs. I saw it a long time ago when I was a kid. I forgot what the name was, but I saw three of them. But I forgot that one. Howl's Moving Castle and Spirited Away. Third one. That's the only ones I saw from Miyazaki.
See, the funny thing is my favorite part of Spirited Away, out of like, you know, one of my favorite parts is just like when the girl, like, she's like, you know, gingerly walking down the stairs and she breaks a step and then she keeps on running and she like hits the wall.
Yeah.
And she's like screaming for dear life, and I was just like, oh lord.
No, my favorite part was No Face.
No Face,
when,
yeah.
When he starts like eating everyone, or like, no, not when he starts, when he like, in fact, there was a scene where he starts getting angry and he gets bigger and he starts. I think it was the scene where he starts eating everyone. That spooked me when I saw it.
No Face is creepy.
Because he was like, I thought it was like a nice character, like, you know, a weird character.
He seemed all pretty of a nice.
Evil came out and I was like, whoa. So, yeah.
And the baby too and all that. That was another part where the baby kept on like kind of like going on her and she's like, get off, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the creature designs, the character designs were really unique for Spirited Away. They're very cool.
Yeah, and you know, it's a really cool movie. So and also too, like, I read I looked at your Kickstarter and you guys did really, you know, phenomenal. Like, you met your goal like in less than, I think it was like 9 days, I want to say, was it, if I'm correct me if I'm wrong.
No, actually we actually made our goal like close to the end. But at once we reached it, a lot of people started backing. The last few days, they started backing a lot. So I was a little bit scared in the beginning because I'm a new creator.
Mm-hmm.
So it was hard to get, you know, I don't really have an audience. So I'm building my audience as I'm going. But I was lucky to have, you know, family and friends and family of friends of the creator team also helped out. And then the last day, Curtis was telling me this too, on the last day, people just start backing out of nowhere. The last 2-3 days, they started backing.
Dang.
Like, the first day was good. First day, everyone back, family, friends back. And then we had that slow middle phase where, like, barely any back, like one or two backers here and there. And at the very end, everyone just started backing, and then we funded. And then people kept backing the project after it funded. So it was interesting to see how the funds came in, how the backers came. But yeah, it was the first 2 days, a lot of backers,
mm-hmm.
Slow middle phase, and at the last 2 days, there was a lot of backers as well.
That's amazing. And like, I was looking at the awards and like, I wanted to like get something up, but then like, it was already backed. So I was like, dang it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, once we have it up, we're gonna have it up on the website. But for now, the Kickstarter backers are going to get the first books.
That's cool, man. I mean, you have a lot of cool rewards though too. Like you had like the if I can look here real quick, I think. Let's see. And you have like the my mouse is kind of acting a little funny, but it's all good.
Oh yeah, I can say some of the words. We had a coloring book.
Yeah, the coloring book I saw, and let's see, you have the takeout, the entree.
Oh yeah, we were naming the tiers. We're giving them food related names. So the entree was just, the physical book. I think the takeout, I forgot what it was, but I think it's like the digital version of that.
The
But yeah, we had
appetizer.
the digital version of the story. I think we had rings. We had some rings in there. My family, we do jewelry.
Oh yeah, I did see those rings, and there's like one with 14 karat plating, and there's like a rainbow one, I think.
There's like a sugar resin ring, and then there's a gold plated ring in there. My family does, they do jewelry repairs, so I know a little bit about jewelry. And also Angelina, she does some jewelry resin designs. So we
That's
put in
really
some rings in
cool.
there. Yeah, my father, my whole family does jewelry repair stuff, so I was lucky
Wow.
to take some, get some help from them, and we designed a little snake ring.
Yeah, I think Sarah and like my sister probably might get along too because they're kind of into that stuff.
Yeah,
Like with
I love I
jewelrying.
yeah. Yeah, my like I'm not that much into jewelry, but I like when like the snake ring that we designed came out cool.
Kind of Harry Potter-ish too, a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. We were trying to design like just like a snake that coils around your finger, and we just came up with that. But it's one of the characters in the first story, the oil snake.
Oh,
So
I saw
you'll
that.
see it.
Yeah, the
Yeah, you'll
oil
see it
snake.
in the first pages, like first in the preview of the pages. You see the oil snake pop up. So that's one of the first characters that they meet.
So right now we're getting to the close of the segment, and I was just wondering, what do you want people to get out of this comic book?
Okay, well, that's a great question. I want them to get. I think I just want them to be able to show their kids, or even if they're reading it for themselves, to just have a fun story and to be able to have the opportunity to know how to make a comic if they're interested in that.
Absolutely. 'Cause like every time I interact with you, Tobin, or Alaire, for instance, like I get more inspired to actually want to get into creating my own comic book perhaps. And it's like I'm starting to get more excited. I mean, originally I wanted to do like a novel though, but I was thinking that a novel is cool though, but like why don't I just go into comic writing instead,
Yeah, I think it all depends on what your goal is,
Yeah.
on what your goal, and it also depends on, I mean, are you an artist?
I'm a writer.
You're a writer, so then it depends on your goal, and it depends on your budget, because what's going to end up happening is you're going to have a budget to pay an artist, and then you have to decide if you're gonna what kind of budget you're going to have, and that's going to help you decide. How many pages you're gonna have, because depending on the number of pages you're gonna have a budget, you gotta have the budget to pay the artist for those pages, and that might deter you from making a comic book, but you can still work on your scripts and outlines. But that was what stopped me in the beginning. I was like, I didn't have money to pay artists, so what I did was I saved up, and once I had the money, I started looking for an art team, and I paid them for the work. But I was definitely thinking of writing a novel, but I'm a visual person. I love
Yeah.
visuals, so I was like, I'm gonna save up money because I want to make a comic book because I love the visuals
I'm a
of
visual guy too, for
it.
the most part.
Me too. So I was like, I'm just gonna save up, and then I did it. But
I mean, I'm like an in-betweener though, but for the most part, the visuals, hey,
yeah, and there's different formats also. It's not just comics. I think there's that. If you're more like into writing than visual, I think they have illustrated novels where it's just like one
Yeah.
picture, a page, it's like one really nice picture,
Then the rest is just like,
and then
yeah.
there's different versions of illustrated novels where it's like mix of prose, and then you have like a picture on the other page. So I still want to play in that type of format. Like that was what I was trying to do in the beginning, but then I chose a comic book because I love comics. But I still want to try an illustrated novel that's, half prose and half pictures one day.
That way, it just, you still, the cool thing about it is you're still, working with people's imagination. So, but at the same time, you're kind of giving them a bit of like a lifeline too, to show like what things actually look like. And like, oh, that's how I imagined it. Or, oh no, I didn't know it looked like that. Like that looks pretty cool. And I like that about like the Harry Potter books, how in the beginning of the chapter, they would usually show like a picture of like what's to come. That's one of the things I liked about them, and I was like, okay, and it gives me an idea of like how I can visualize as I read, what it's going, what the characters are gonna look like, or what's gonna happen, and it's just really cool. So, Christian, where can we find you on social media?
Oh, you can find me Comical Foods anywhere on social media. I was lucky that
Comical
Comical Foods was
Foods.
not taken and on any social media
You should
platform.
trademark that, man.
I did already.
Oh, dude, awesome.
I don't recommend trademarking in the beginning because it costs a lot of money and you can make mistakes. But fortunately, I don't know. I just trademarked it because I was like, I'm gonna really work on this for like the rest of my life. So I was like, I'm gonna trademark it, and I got the trademark. Like, it took me
Protection,
like 2 years
man.
to get it, but I got it.
That's awesome.
Thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for being on my podcast. Yeah, so thank you so much for being on the podcast. And congratulations on your comic book being fully funded. I'm looking forward to reading it, especially once it comes out.
Thank you so much, Brian. Thank you for having us, and thank you for the great interview questions. I can't wait to get the book to you once we finish it, and you can get it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So that's gonna do it for the Earth 60 Comics Wire podcast. Thank you all for listening and viewing. And as I always say, stay ever so awesome. This is Brian and Christian, and we're signing out.
Bye.
Okay.